Take your Bibles and go to Genesis 29. Now, y'all remember, you stood up without me telling you. Hey, you stood up when you wanted to. You sit down when you want to. Because I'm not so structured sometimes. Lord, I thank you for Calvary. And I thank you for Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, for a place and a man, Lord, willing to sacrifice and bleed. Lord God, until we could have that glory, Thy divine glory. Now breathe on us tonight. Lord, we're all flesh. You should have shoved us into hell a long time ago. God, you sent your Son. You gave your Son. Now, Lord, help me. Lord, to be a help. Lord God, as we begin this week of special meetings, and I love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said,
amen.
You can actually be seated because I don't always finish my text. Genesis 29. This year the Lord's had me studying the Bible character of Jacob. I think the Lord's given us maybe 10 messages out of Jacob. I think I was talking to your pastor one morning, and he got me interested in this thought. He didn't know I was studying Jacob. And he sent me over there looking at Leah and Jacob. I've only preached this maybe twice out of all these Jacob sermons, but do y'all remember the story where Jacob was deceived by Laban and he was in love with Rachel and served 7 years for her and went to marry her, but instead he was given Leah, who was the ugly older sister that nobody wanted. And Laban said, "That's just the way we do it here, bud, and you're stuck." And I wanted to talk to you a little while out of this scripture on what are you going to do when God gives you something ugly? What are you going to do when God gives you something that you didn't want? What are you going to do when you've served for 7 years, a decade nearly, when you've gone through a whole cycle? That's that number seven. It's not just completion, it's completion of a cycle. The thing began and come around to its final end. What are you going to do when you've gone through a whole cycle with God and He doesn't give you what you want? One of the greatest things that you'll ever come into in your Christian journey is learning to actually trust God. How appropriate right here would be that sweet song. When I first started walking with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. And the chorus says, but I've been through enough to know He'll be enough. I tell you what's amazing in this thing is we start off actually with a childlike faith. We, just like your 2-year-old, will jump off the top bunk into your arms and never think twice. But when they get older, they don't trust mom and dad so good. You and I do that in our Christian journey. We jump off the top bunk with hell cooking right below us and trust Jesus with our eternal soul. Trust Him with eternity. And then find ourselves down the road and don't trust Him with what He's doing today. Let's read the text and get some help tonight. Genesis 29, verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? By the way, that little word "naught" is different than the word "nothing." This may help some of you preachers maybe to write some sermons, and maybe some of you Christians that study. The number zero is not mentioned in the Bible. You type in zero on your concordance, it's not going to come up. But there is a zero in the Bible. I've got an uncle who actually went to West Georgia over here, and he got degrees in science, degrees in math. He's a pastor. He's writing right now a book on biblical numerology, probably going to be the best one that's ever come out. He's compiling thoughts from Bollinger and two or three others, and he's putting some number studies in there that nobody's ever done. One of them is zero. He said he never found anybody that did a Bible study on zero. Because the word zero doesn't pop up, but he said everywhere you find the word not. And he's talking wages here. He's talking figures. Anywhere you see that word not, it means zero. It's different than nothing, because nothing is nothing, but not is something that's not. It's a zero. And zero is a number. It just ain't nothing to that number. And I want to tell you, the devil will tell you if you serve God, it'll be all for naught. But I want to tell you, I was a zero when he found me. I may have even been in the minus category. Whew. God knows how to take nothing and make something. And God knows how to take naught and give you something. Just thought that'd be interesting. Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now let's just go ahead and say them King James boys were being very kind. She was tender-eyed. Can I paraphrase? You and I, if we were trying to be kind, we'd have said, well, she's got a good personality. You've heard that one when you're trying to set people up. Got a great personality. You can't kiss a personality. Brother Clemens, one old man I studied behind, said this. I thought it was very funny. He said, tender-eyed means you look at her and it hurts your eyes until they were tender. Tender. Now, y'all laugh, but I've been to your Walmart, and there's some hurting women down there. I mean, hurt. Ah. Oh. Tender-eyed. She is ugly, and he did not like her, and he did not want her. And the Bible said, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And I do want to make a little announcement. Especially in this day and age of image. This is a day and age of an image. Propaganda presentation. If we ain't careful in the kingdom of God, we'll act like image means something. Them Amish and up in Pennsylvania, they don't even want you taking their picture. They think photographs are images, and that shall have no graven image before me. Christ, who is the image. Honey, I think it'd do us well to quit worrying about our image and make Christ the image. The end of Proverbs said, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord. Make a little announcement. This probably don't need to be preached here, but if we preach it, it'll continue to not needing to be preached here. Girls, I'm going to tell you what will make you beautiful. It's the beauty of holiness. The glory of God is what makes you attractive to others. You don't need Mary Kay and Avon. Now, I ain't against it. No, I ain't against it. I've seen the crowd against it, and they need to be for it. They need to be for it. Do what you got to do, whatever you feel like you need to do. I ain't again. But true beauty, there is a beauty of holiness. That'll keep your marriage sweet. And somebody lose their health, or somebody lose their mind, and their appearance can go. Honey, I got news for you. Love better be more than skin deep. Get in a car wreck and get yourself in. Your health loses. You can't exercise. No. Right now, I got a dear preacher friend. Our age, me and Jennifer's age. 18-wheeler, on his way to preach, 18-wheeler hit him, did his spine like an accordion. Paralyzed from the chin down now for the last 10 years. And she has been faithful to him. There ain't nothing left to his body. And she's lost her health in the meantime. Her back went out and her nerves went out. And honey, I got news for you. Honey, when you get this thing called a marriage, you better get it to an altar. Cause honey, this thing of favor and beauty, it ain't, but it's deceitful and it's vain, but you better get full of God. God is love. And if you got Him, you can love each other when this thing falls apart. Why some people go to the church they go to. Looks good and feels good to them. Honey, it's a spiritual world. It ain't a sensual world. You ever go to some place because it appeals to your senses? You better go somewhere because it appeals to the Holy Spirit within you. But Rachel was beautiful and well favored. And Jacob loved Rachel. And said, I will serve these 7 years for Rachel. That boy, it's amazing what we will do for what we do want. Just 10 seconds right here. I ain't got no time to hear your excuses. People do what they want to do. Enough said. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger. Verse 19. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man abiding me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now the next few verses goes to tell us that he tricked Jacob. Which we do need to stop and comment on that. Jacob had been a trickster all those years. I'll make a little announcement to you and to me. God got somebody out there just like you, and He's going to let you live with them for a while. A dose of your own medicine. Reaping what you sowed and all that stuff. And so there Jacob's well, they got married. And he thought it was Rachel. And verse 25 said, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, that's a good place for the word behold. Behold. That was a surprise. I'll be very careful here, Pastor. You don't have to be nervous. But I don't know how you get married one evening, spend the whole night, wake up the next morning and realize it ain't the one you thought it was. Several interesting thoughts right there. I mean, how does that happen? They really needed electricity in those days. Laban told the servants, put that bad kerosene in the lamp and turn it down. I mean, I don't know. How did it happen? How many veils was in there? I don't know how these things slip up, and you behold, it's the one that hurts your eyes. I want to say this. God can bring into your life whatever He so chooses. No matter how bad you didn't want it, how much you rejected it, God wants you to be somewhere and sit with something and live with something. You're going to. You ain't going to out-negotiate Him. Now I come to three questions. The end of verse 25. Jacob, out of the anguish of his soul for this ugly thing that had been brought upon him, he asked three questions. And when I read this, the Holy Ghost thumped it down in my heart. This is how we act before God when we're a dying for Rachel and He gives us a Leah. We better learn to trust Him with whatever He does. Three arguments he had. I'm going to preach on them. First one, look what he said. Verse 25, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Honey, if you're not careful, that'll be your argument before God. Didn't Adam jump right on that? When Satan came and sin came, he blamed God and threw Eve up. He said, it was the woman that you gave me. I thought I was going to shout her out tonight, but I had a little bit of plowing in my soul. I got news for you. I want to make an announcement. I made this announcement to the men of my church when I pastored, and I make it here. If there's a problem in your home, it starts with you and it ends with you, sir. I don't want to hear what's wrong with her. God knows what's wrong with her. You're the spiritual head, representative of your home, and you can get along with God and deal with God, and God can turn it around. God can be God, and it's up to the men to be the head of the home. Quit blaming it on her. That's how the Bible started. God didn't hold her responsible. Looked to me like she was. But God didn't. He said that woman was deceived. But Adam, you sinned. And Romans 5 didn't say, wherefore is by one woman sin entered into the world. It said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. She's the weaker vessel created out of your side to go back into your heart. And so you need to quit whining and whimping and blaming and making excuses. Be a man and get along with God and let God help you. If you're married to a hellcat, just tell the Lord about it. You ain't got to tell nobody else. They already know. I should have said that. I'm sorry, Pastor. You go to, and you fast and pray and get along with God and the demons running through your home. I don't care where they're coming in at. You, sir, have the spiritual ability to plug them holes. Same applies to a church. God expects the men. You give me a spirit-filled church, there'll be as many men as women or more. You give me a church that ain't full of the Holy Ghost, it'll be domineered by the women. Not really their fault. They're the only ones there trying to serve God. I don't know if it's camp meeting preaching or not, but it turns out that it is tonight. What is this thou hast done unto me? Oh, if we're not careful, that'll be our attitude to God. When He gives you something ugly. Look at the second question. Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Whew. I'm going to let y'all chew on that for a minute. Who does that remind you of? There's another character in the New Testament. I'm going to give you a clue. It's in the book of Luke. And all he could think about was how he served so good. Did not I serve? Honey, there's something really wrong in your soul if that's all you got to say and lay out there is what all you've been doing. These are the kind of people that cause problems in a church. Did not I serve? My granddaddy nailed that down. I've been poor in here 30 years. Well, bless your soul. Did not I serve with... You know what he's saying? Didn't I earn this? Didn't I earn this? That's what the elder brother said in Luke 15, the prodigal son. And he came to his father, and he was angry that that younger brother was forgiven. And he was angry that he was being restored. And he was angry that he was being celebrated. He said, did not I serve all these years? Honey, there's something wrong in our soul when that's your bitter cry. I guess God, ain't you seen what I've been doing? Did not I serve? Honey, the last time I checked, ain't none of us got what we deserved. Don't you see what I deserve? That's what he's saying. I'm going to make a little announcement. If we could really see what we did deserve, God should have kicked us into the pit of hell a long time ago. I seen another crowd hollering about their works in Matthew 7. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name done many wonderful works, and even cast out devils. Then I say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Somebody told me the other day, preacher, was talking about how hard it was. And he said, how do you go and go and go? I'm in the middle of a 40 days where I'm preaching 37 nights. Going and going and going and going and going, and the body wears, and fighting from without and fears from within, and the flesh is wicked, and the foe is merciless, and the fight's red hot, and blood's and somebody said to me, isn't it hard? And I wasn't trying to sound better to anybody, but it's the true answer of my soul. And I've always felt like this since a boy. And I told him, I'm glad it's hard. And I ain't trying to sound spiritual. I'm telling you out of my soul. I said, I'm ashamed it ain't harder. Why should I be like a little spoiled something? We ain't got but one chance to show him how much we appreciate what he did for a bunch of worms that should have been roasting in hell. And he went to Calvary in our place. I'm glad it is as hard as it is, because I want to do it and show him that I appreciate it. And I'm ashamed of how spoiled we are in this country. Right now, if you've heard about the Iranian pastor fixing to be executed, raise your hand. Right now, there's a young Iranian preacher in Iran locked up for being a Christian. And Ahmadinejad had done set an execution date. He's got little boys and little girls, it's his. We want to whine because the price of gas is going up. Honey, you couldn't afford to pay gas when it's $1.02. It's the grace of God paid your bills then. It'll be the grace of God to pay them now. Want to whine because somebody parks in our spot. Want to whine because it's a little too hot, a little too cold. Preacher went to 12:20. Well, God bless your silly britches, honey. You better not get in line at the judgment seat of Christ next to those martyrs of the faith. I found out something a long time. I told Jennifer on the way down here, I'm praying for that old boy. He looks like he's maybe about my age. I'm a prayer. We got a brother tonight sitting in a prison fixing to have his head cut off by them Muslim pagans. And honey, listen, the Muslims are pagans. They're a bunch of bloodthirsty, demon-possessed pagans. I ain't trying to get a rise out of you or trying to come across as if I'm macho. Let me tell you something, honey. We're in uncharted waters. We're at war with the Muslims. America's under such confusion of judgment that we elected a Muslim. We just killed a boy named Hussein and elected one named Hussein. Every time that man gives a speech, another federal disaster hits our country. Every time that man opens his mouth, the earthquakes or the floods break out. Honey, you've turned your back on Israel in an hour where God's gathering the nations up against Israel. I want to make a little announcement. I'm on the Lord's side tonight. I'm on the Lord's side tonight. ain't going to whine because I got to drive somewhere. Ain't going to whine because the road gets a little tough, honey. These men bled and died, honey, so you and I could have a Bible, so you and I could have a freedom to worship. Did not I serve? Honey, you ought to shut that silly. Did not I serve? People talk like that, end up going to hell.
Right.
Did not I serve? Anywhere you hear that puffed up attitude? Anywhere you hear that puffed up attitude, hell's fixing to break out. Don't they know what I've been doing around there? Don't you know what you should have been doing? Should have been crawling through the brimstones of hell. But God had a Son, and the Father sent the Son, and Jesus crawled up on Calvary's cross, and He took my place. Did not I serve? I hope I'm never so stupid as to sit down with anybody, anywhere, and start pointing out what I've been doing, what I... That's right out of hell. Don't care what God gives you. It's better than what you deserved. I got a pastor friend right now. He's 45 years old. I'll not disclose his name. It's their own personal business. I think his wife's 39. They're dear friends of ours. They already had their children, Sister Renee. I think they got a 10-year-old girl as the last one. And the Lord slipped in and has put a baby in the picture now. And He said to me the other day, leaned in my window, said, "We've just found out that the chromosomes are missing and this is going to be a Down syndrome baby." Now they are so gracious they wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. She wasn't, never had plans of spending the rest of her life now as a caretaker over one crippled child. That wasn't in her plans. But is in His. And He looked at me and He said this. He said, "We believe in a sovereign God." And He said, "It's God's will." He said, "They've been talking strong to her about aborting that baby." And He said, "We've told them it's not even in our thoughts." Now, they're saying all the right things, but honey, you know hell comes up and whispers all them other things. Same thing He whispers to me and you when something comes that's a Leah, not a Rachel. Did not I serve? You come with me across the country and you'll hear this 1,000 times, 10,000. You'll hear about preachers that have hurt churches. And then you'll hear about churches that have hurt preachers. And every time in that mix, there's one voice crying out, "Didn't I serve?" But usually there's another voice crying out and said, "Whatever Your will is, God." Did not I serve? What's the third question? Wherefore then? Y'all help me. I don't think I can quote it. "Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" This is the big one. This is the big one. I did a little word study on that beguiled. Brother David helped me study that word. I was in a motel without any of my books and I texted 5 preachers and said, "Tell me what the word beguiled means." And that thing came back. Listen here. It means to deceive. And it means to lead astray. Have you ever been in a place where you thought, "God, why did You lead me down this path? What am I doing over here?" Now, y'all may act like you're too spiritual to admit you ever think like that. You know what Jeremiah said when they got locked up and put in that pit? He said, "Thou hast deceived me." And I was deceived. Well, honey, you better believe one thing. There might be coming a day where it'll get so messed up you'll say, "God, you led me here." I'm going to give you one Bible illustration and then close. John the Baptist. Watch this. In Matthew 3, he's baptizing Jesus. Can I stop right there and say, "Whoa! Woo! That's a pretty big deal. You're the preacher that baptized Jesus." I mean, Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts can't even top that story right there. He was the preacher standing in the Jordan when the heavens opened and the Father spake. "This is my beloved." He's the preacher that the dove, the Holy Ghost. He's the preacher laid hands on the incarnate virgin born God's Son. He said, "I ain't ready to touch your shoelaces." And Jesus said, "Get over here." Thus it fulfilleth us to fulfill all righteousness. I'm heading for a death, a burial, and resurrection. I want to show them how to come. Baptized. With the whole nation of Israel coming out to see him and hear him preach. There's the Father speaking over your ministry. There's the Holy Ghost falling on your ministry. And you got Jesus in your hands. Can I push pause for 12 seconds? Some of you thinking about going to some big mega contemporary church. And three of them charismatics you work with have been working on you hard for about 2 decades. On going non-denominational. Can I stop for just 1 second? It wasn't John the Methodist. It wasn't John the Presbyterian. It wasn't John the Pentecostal. I don't care if you like it or not, it was John the Baptist. Amen. Jesus kissed his mama goodbye, told the wood shop, "I'll never see you again." And he went and found the Baptist preacher and said, "I need you to baptize me." How dynamic was his ministry? Let's just go 7 steps over to chapter 11. 7, 8 steps. 6 months later, the man's locked up, fixing to have his head cut off. He got to preaching against adultery and such. And a dancing girl and a whispering woman. Y'all say amen or I'll preach 30 extra minutes right there. A dancing girl and a whispering woman. I don't know if y'all need me to move on there or not. A dancing girl and a whispering woman. All right, you did okay. I move on. A dancing girl and a whispering woman and got him locked up. Matthew 11. I think it's verse 4. Go there, young preacher, and help me preach this. In heaven, I'm going to be a black preacher for 100 years just so I can read. Read. I need an organist and a drummer. Back. 3 readers, 2 organists, and 1 drummer. White people are so boring. All of y'all are so boring. I'm born in the wrong body some way or another. I ought to be 60 miles that way with 100 of them hanging off the chandelier. Saved or not, they can out-worship white people. Any good? Dear time. Matthew 11, what verse? He said, "Art thou he that should come? It's in verse 3. Watch me now. He's only got two followers. Two disciples. He's locked up. Holding them prison bars. And he said to his two friends, the only last two friends, it was the whole nation following him. Now they're just two boys. And he said, I don't even know if Jesus is real. Hey, y'all. That's what he said. I said, go ask him. I know the heavens open. I know I heard a voice. I know there was a dove. I don't know if that was him or not I was holding. You can get in such a shape that you don't even know if that's him or not. You beguile me. I've been led astray. Honey, you stay with God long enough, you'll get to a place you'll say, I don't know how I got here. And I'm not even sure if this is God. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? So the two boys struck out and they went and found Jesus and there. And he's on the other side of town preaching to all the multitudes. And I love this. They said, John. He's locked up, Jesus, you know, they're fixing to kill him. By the way, Jesus never did visit him. Some of you whiny Baptists in the South need to get over it. You couldn't have had Jesus for your pastor. That was his best man. He didn't visit him in prison. Lazarus was his best friend. He didn't see him when he was sick. He didn't even go to the funeral. I can hear some of you cuckoo birds right now. Jesus has lost his burden. We got to find another church. Jesus and his disciples, they just don't love anybody anymore over there. They don't even love anybody anymore over there. And he's been calling us Pharisees and whitewashed sepulchres and foxes. He started calling names. Don't even visit his own people. We're finding another church. He never even visited John. Never did. Here's what he told the two disciples. Here's what he told them. And I love this. He said, you go tell John. I think they have a happy bubble the size of Arkansas. He said, you tell him if he's wondering if this is the real deal or not. You tell him deaf men are hearing, blind men are seeing, lame men are walking, the dead are being raised, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Now I love this. Y'all stay with me. I love this. And as they walked away, he said to the multitudes, y'all know... I'm about to jump through one of your fancy stanglers. Them are too fancy anyway. Somebody needs to break one of them. Only liberty. That man's unpredictable right there. Only at Ken Bowman's. I retract my statement about he done one side. And I'm confused. Leave me alone. Here's what he said. He said to the crowd, what'd you go to see when you went to see John? A reed shaking in the wind? A celebrity wearing soft clothing? And he said this. Y'all stay with me. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He's the best one I got. There hath not risen, been born to a woman greater than John the Baptist. Here's what I need you to see. Here's what I need you to see. John is on one side of town saying, I don't even know if he's real. I don't even know if he's real. Jesus is on the other side of town, knowing what John is thinking. And he says, John is real. John is the real deal. He's the best one ever been born. John's on this side of town. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know if all that was real or not. Jesus is on the other side of town. Said, I'd like to brag on John for just a little while. Let me tell you something, happy. Job's sitting on the ground. All the hell broke loose on him. And he's just saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And God's in heaven saying, ain't nothing wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with him. He's perfect and sinless and upright. He's the best one I got. And Job said, I don't know where God is. And God's in heaven saying, I know right where Job is. And God never came to Job and encouraged him. I'm talking about when God gives you something that hurts your eyes. A jail cell. Job sitting on the ground broken. He never visited. And when he finally did come to Job, watch this. He chewed him out. Chapter 37. Stand up. I'm going to talk to you like a man. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? It's mean you're going to have a little talk. So my daddy used to come in there and say, stand up, boy. He took my glasses off one time and said he didn't want to pay for them. I was trying to blame it on Jason, Chad, and Jonathan, and I didn't get nowhere with that. Stand up, we're going to talk. And God came to Job and gave him 77 questions just to remind him, I'm still God. I ain't going to tell you nothing about what you've been going through. Let me tell you how it's going where I'm at. I'm still God. Now, ain't you glad for the times when you're sitting over here and don't even know if it's real or not? God on the other side saying, that one's mine. I love them. Just a bragging on them. And don't look for them to come and explain nothing to you. God don't give answers. Not in that Bible. You don't find him ever showing up and just, okay, I'm going to answer y'all's questions. Never does. When they came to Jesus looking for answers, he'd always ask him a question. He answered a question with a question. God ain't interested in answering all of our silly little questions. Jesus don't come to give you answers. He comes to give you anchors. He just wants you to trust him. He just wants you to trust him. You may not understand where you're at, but he understands where you're at. He puts you there. He wants you there. Can I say something in conclusion? What are you going to do when God doesn't give you what you've been working for? Can I say something to y'all? I'm going to give you 5 things in 90 seconds. Can you handle it? I'll tell you what you do when God gives you a Leah instead of a Rachel. You don't quit. You don't quit. I remember my daddy ingraining that in me. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson pounding that pulpit. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Bob Jones Sr. said, just do right and do right and do right till the stars fall. Just don't quit. The child of God, the only thing that's going to be considered at the judgment seat of Christ was your faithful heart. If you were faithful. If you weren't, it means you quit. You quit believing God, you quit behaving, and you quit following God. You don't quit. Number two, you roll up your sleeves and you come back for round two. It's what he done. Said he served 7 other years. He just said, okay, let's go again. God give us a second mile crowd in this whiny, shallow, spoiled, church hopping, marriage hopping generation. God give us somebody who'll say, okay, that went really bad. Let's get up and go again. Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Some things you'll never know if you don't follow on. Number three, this is just a comment. When you're in it for love, you'll keep going. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. When you're in it for love, you'll keep going. When you're in it for self, you'll quit first time it gets inconvenienced. When you're in it for love, you'll keep going. The fourth thing I want to say to you. I'll talk to you about uncertainty. At first attempt, he was pretty sure what he was going to get. That second go around, he wasn't sure how it was going to go. Because it didn't go good the first time. I want to say something right here. I got 29 seconds left. God loves people who are in it for Him when they're really not sure how it's going to turn out. They're not in it for them. They're in it for Him. I'm going to go find me a soul choir if y'all don't act a little bit better. If you're in it when they're in it for themselves, but when you're in it for Him. He's like, well, the first time I done this, it didn't go good. And I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, but I love her so much, I'm going to keep it going. I ain't sure y'all are getting that just right. Let's try this one on. The three Hebrew boys. They had that 90-foot statue of the Antichrist. Had the jungle music going. And they said, everybody else is bound. You got to bow. I love the answer they gave. We're not sure what God will do. But we're pretty sure what He can do. And we don't know what God will do. But we know what we're going to do. We're going to stand for God. That was juicy. I'm not sure what God's going to do. They said, we heated up that furnace 7 times. Going to cook you. He said, you might. We ain't sure what God will do. But we've decided what we're going to do. Oh, I love somebody who says, it went really bad last time. Probably going to go bad again this time. But it didn't go good for him when he went up on Calvary's cross. Woo! I'm going because I love him. Not because I think of what he's going to do for me. But just because I love him. I ain't sure how this is going to turn out. Esther, if I perish, I perish. I love my Jewish people. She said the king got every right to kill me and probably will. If I perish, I perish. But somebody's got to make a stand. I love that. Last thing I want to say before I give altar call, I got 11 seconds left. That's why preachers preach so long. Our time stops while we're preaching. I got 11 seconds left. I want to say this. I need y'all to help me. If you sit there like white Presbyterian Episcopalians, I'm going to throw something hard at you. I'll pick up one of these chairs and we'll go WWF on you. Oh, I love this last little thought. Brother Rollins, the ugly thing brought so much more fruit in his life than the beautiful thing. Rachel only had 2 sons. Leah had 6. And then Leah's concubine and Rachel's concubine gave them the 12. 3-1. It was Leah who had Levi, the family of preachers.
It was Leah who had Judah. The praise. Jesus came from Judah. Out of that ugly thing in your life is where God's going to end up bringing Jesus. Down the road, He's going to bring Jesus into your picture. Woo. And can I slip in a sixth comment? Since I've been so good on time tonight, I usually go over an hour. I'm under an hour tonight. I'm doing good. He ain't never fussed at me, but I get hungry and want to go eat. Can I just throw this in and help us trust the Lord tonight? Brother Corbett, y'all get ready to come up in just a second. Did you know Rachel said when Rachel got married, and she did get married to him and could not have children, you know what she said? Brother Clemens, she said, "Give me children or else I die." And you know, God gave her children and it's what caused her to die. She had Joseph and then she had Benjamin and she died giving birth. "Give me children or else I die." I just want to say this, hope it makes sense to you. Be real careful about what you tell God to do. He knows exactly what He's doing. "Give me children or else I die." He may give you what you want. It may kill you. I just want to trust Him. Now, I've been there. I've been there when that rose up in my heart. "What are you doing to me?" That first question. I've been there when that second question bumped up in my heart. "Look at what all I'm doing. And why is this? Why is Leah coming and not Rachel?" I've been there when I said, "Have I been beguiled? Have I been deceived and led down a wrong path?" I just love looking at those men. Job's on the ground with his wife cursing God. John's leaning against a jail bar saying, "I don't even know if Jesus is real." And Jesus is always on the other side saying, "I'm so proud of them. I ain't going to tell them now. There's coming a day on the other side." But until then, we got to trust Him. Come on, Brother Corbett. Until then, we got to trust Him. I like people who go for a second round. I don't care what churches do to preachers and what preachers do to churches. I ain't in it for preachers or churches. I'm in it for the lovely Son of God who crawled up on Calvary's cross and laid His life down for me. If you ain't in it for Jesus, you ain't gonna last. I'm in it for Him. I want y'all to stand.